For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, according to state records, around two-thirds of Connecticut's COVID-19-related deaths have come from nursing home infections. Now, according to an article in the Hartford Courant, outdated nursing home designs have contributed to the spread of COVID-19 in Connecticut nursing homes. Miles Brown is a senior living architect and a principal at Amenta Emma Architects in Hartford. He's designed senior living communities across the state, and he joins us on the program now. Sir, what effect has the way our state's nursing homes designs had on the COVID positivity rates and COVID deaths in these facilities?
We do know that many of the facilities were designed a long time ago in the 60s and the 70s to more of an institutional model of care, more hospital-like. And as such, they were focused, if you imagine a floor plan being a more centralized floor plan focused, so residents may be at higher capacities, say 60 to 70 residents in a floor, and they're congregating in a centralized design format. So in other words, every day at mealtime, maybe at 40 to 50 to 60 residents, maybe have to all come to one centralized dining room. And so they aren't segregated as much as they probably should be. That's one example. If you do have a virus that comes in, whether it's a coronavirus or even the common flu, the ability to separate wings of the building into areas where residents can live and function and get their meals every day and not infect the whole floor is a problem. One of the other major issues is the rooms themselves are often designed for 2 to 4 residents at a time. So you can imagine if one resident in that room gets the virus, they're going to spread it to the other two or three in the room. And it's a challenge, I think, in the state and in the country with the reimbursement rates that are being provided that for nursing homes to be able to provide individual rooms for the residents. It's, as you might imagine, it's more economical to have 2 to 4 residents in a room, share a bathroom. To make that happen, there certainly needs to be an investment being paid. And I think that the margins that some of the nursing homes have to operate on aren't allowing them to do that. So it's tricky. And to redesign buildings or rooms to fit the individual resident rooms in there, there just isn't the space to do that. And there are some tricks and some ways to do that, but it can be tricky.
And what about the ventilation, the heating and cooling systems in these places?
Yeah, that's an issue too. I mean, so we're looking at buildings that have more fresh air changes, better filtration in their HVAC systems. Also, the ability to decentralize, just like we're trying to decentralize our floor plans, decentralize the HVAC system so that they could be confined. The fresh air comes into one room and out in the same room so that the air and the ventilation is not passing from room to room.
I just found the statistic, that I think there are 20 nursing homes in Connecticut that are 100 years old or more. And so many of them, they're over 35 and 40 years old. So with all of these old nursing homes, it sounds like from what you're saying, it'd be lovely to be able to retrofit them, but is that really feasible to go through and retrofit them in a way that really makes an appreciable difference?
Each one would probably have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. If you do a comparison between renovating the existing building and building new, you may find out that the cost to build new is the same or even less.
So, again, it sounds like what you're saying is that at the very least, we need a retrofitting, a redesign, an updating of current nursing homes, or we need a slew of new nursing homes. Either way, that sounds like a lot of money. How do we pay for it?
I don't have all the answers, John. The cost is going to be extremely challenging. And we've heard from our clients that the reimbursements that they're being provided through the state and the federal government just aren't enough to cover their costs. There used to be costs in the past for capital improvements, and there just haven't been in any, I think, at the last 10 to 15, maybe 20 years. So I don't know. I think I don't think that the nursing homes themselves are going to be able to fit the bill and still operate on the tight margins that they do. So that's a challenge. I think the awareness that's coming about now may hopefully bring forth some solutions.
So it's tough to say how we pay for the improvements that are desperately needed. What's the cost, would you say, of not doing this?
Yeah, the cost is tremendous. I think especially with the number of elderly people in the United States and across the world increasing, the baby boom population, and those numbers by 2030 are going to be astronomical. If we don't do something, we're going to have a very serious problem on our hands.
What sort of inquiries are you getting from the nursing home community right now about potentially doing anything right now design-wise to improve this situation, with the understanding that the capital needed to make the really, really necessary improvements probably isn't out there?
You know, we aren't getting a ton of requests, as you might imagine. They've got their hands full with the vaccine right now and just protecting their residents.
We are not. Okay.
I mean, we have gotten some inquiries to help. We formulated an assessment over the summer where we would go into a senior living community or facility and help them make some improvements that were sort of on the lower cost side of things, maybe changing out air filters or putting up signage and looking for sort of easy ways to make their buildings a little bit more safe.
So that sort of touches on the other question I had was, you know, for people who are in nursing homes right now, perhaps listening, or people who have loved ones in those nursing homes, what are the things that they should be going to management and saying, look, I know you guys aren't swimming in cash, but these are the basic things you could and should be doing to make these places safer?
Think about how your residents can get connection to the outdoors. If your family member is on a second floor of a building and, you know, for 6 months they can't get outside, is there some way to provide a deck or some kind of an outdoor space on that floor where they can get out and get some fresh air? A senior living community that we designed in Southington had exactly that situation of a second floor where there was a sort of a stark outdoor space the residents could go out to, but it faced due south. It was really hot and there was really nothing for them to do out there. But last year towards the beginning of this year, we renovated a patio on the second floor, put artificial turf out there, some planters, some shading devices, and it really was a godsend for the residents on that floor to be able to get out and get to that outdoor space. So I would really, again, think about that. I think there's certain, you know, the HVAC systems creating more fresh air changes in the building. That's not an easy thing to do, but the more we can clean the air in the building, I think they have to be careful about as you might imagine, there are some folks out there that'll try to sell you anything. There's some technologies that aren't totally proven now, but what we do know is a fresh air and good filtration on the systems will certainly help. If redesigning the rooms to include more touchless fixtures, light fixtures, faucets, things like that. Also incorporating some materials in the rooms like antimicrobial materials in the more high-touch areas being the grab bars or mainly just the grab bars and the handrails and the door handles. We're actually... And that nursing home, in order to make the rooms accessible and private rooms, we're making the doors into the resident rooms automatic. So they have a wave sensor. So you just wave your hand in front of the door and it opens. So nobody has to touch the door. That also saves about 10 square feet in the room design because somebody in a wheelchair doesn't need the maneuvering clearance at that door to get in and out of the room. So that's one of those space savers where if you could take that, any amount of square footage that you can steal and help to make a room become from a double to a single and still get the accessibility requirements in there is key. Technology is another huge one. You know, we've all been on Zoom meetings, and they're trying to bring that to the nursing homes. But if you can incorporate that technology into the rooms somehow, or make sure they have the bandwidth to handle visitation through Zoom or through an iPad, is very important.
So to summarize, so you're saying to the basic things that nursing homes can do now is A, really work hard to provide more outdoor time, and B, try to use technology to go as touchless as possible in a way that maximizes space.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think they really have to be thinking about the bigger issues too, getting to more individualized private rooms. Think about the planning process that needs to happen to make that process cure. Look at their budgets and see how the future. I think that not only are the residents' families going to be demanding it, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if there's some legislation that comes out, and some of the codes in the future may require, you know, right now the code says you can have a maximum of four residents in one room. I could see that being reduced to two or even one in the near future.
Senior living architect Miles Brown, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, John.